Bank of Cardiff.
Jeremiah.
Kevin.
How are you?
What's up, bud? How are you?
Cruising, man. Just cruising. What's new with you? Anything?
Nah, same old, same old. I mean, I closed another deal the other day, which was good. It was $150,000.
Attaboy.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm at like $32,000 GM for the month.
Wow, good shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I thought I closed another deal yesterday, and I closed the guy on. Kevin, can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Kev. Yeah, so it was funny because I had another deal yesterday. The guy got approved for 175 with 17 points, and I closed them on it. And then I told like DK and Ruben, and they were like, "Dude, you and Kevin are the only ones that try to close with all the points." I'm like, "Yeah, that makes sense to try and get the most out of it, you know?"
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I had a long conversation with Dean about that last week because. You know, everything is so volume-driven now, and we had monster numbers volume-wise, but we had the lowest average points per deal, like, in history.
Oh, really? You know? I didn't
so
know that.
So even though the volume was way up, you know, the average points per deal was like 4 or 5, which is ridiculous, because, yeah, you're putting max points in. You know, I'm averaging over 15 points a deal.
Yeah.
So that means, like, there's a lot of people putting like 4 or 5, and you know the volume's great, but you know we don't do this business for volume, you know. And I told Dean, I said, as a sales rep, you know, I've always been driven by GM numbers. I said we post and everybody talks about volume, but nobody talks about GM numbers. That should be extremely important to sales reps, and if it's extremely important to them, then you know it's going to be better for Cardiff. And
absolutely,
so I don't know if they're gonna, you know, make any changes. I recommended doing some sort of cash bonus, public cash bonus, you know, something that's posted and tracked throughout the month as far as, you know, average points per deal or most margin or something like that, because, you know, if you're averaging cash or option cash bonuses, people are going to pay attention and everybody's going to obviously want to be the one to not only earn the cash, but be known as the person that had the highest GM the month before. And it just kind of, in my opinion, will drive the floor, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to do anything with that or not.
No, you're absolutely right. It'll absolutely work, man. Spiffs always help sales reps. You know, that's what they focus on.
That's so, why we do it, right? I mean, the spiffs, exactly. And then, you know, that a lot of sales people have egos too, you know. We also want to be competitive, and we also want to mm-hmm. be, you know, not only earn the money, but we want everybody else to know that we got that bonus, you know.
Absolutely.
That they didn't, and, you know, you did type thing. So, anyways, yeah, it's funny that you brought that up because I just had that conversation with Dean.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So, where's that deal as far as funding? You closed it, but is it in funding now? What's going on with it?
The one, well, the guy called me today and he was like, "Yeah, you know, it's just way too much." I mean, he was borrowing 175, paying back 240 something thousand. He's like, I can't. He's like, I can't pay it back. You know, I'm like, I understand. He's like, but, you know, he's like, that's the approval I wanted. That's just so much in interest. My business can't handle that. You know, I'm like, all right, well, I'll give you a couple of days to think about it. And then, you know, then maybe I'll call back and drop it down a little bit and take it from there.
Sure.
But you always got to start at max points. I mean, that's
of course, what, I agree.
I just don't understand why they don't. Like, there's some reps that will go into the call already discounting the, you know, the deal. I'm like, why? Why do you jump in like that? How do you know what the situation is? And it just, I don't know. From a sales point of view, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
No, I mean, I agree. And there's going to be some pushback sometimes, or, you know, probably 80% of the time, sometimes they just come right back and you're like, damn, okay. But you know, you should always go in with more and then
yeah, negotiate.
You know, be prepared to drop it and have a reason too, right? You don't want to just come back and say, okay, well, I dropped this for you because you complained.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to have a plan and be able to come back and say, you know what, I submitted this, or, you know, I did this, or, you know, I did something that made the underwriter feel better and he dropped it, right? You don't want to just have them have the feeling that you have the ability, like a car salesman, just to make drop up your own numbers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you want to have room to do that as well. You know, you go in with 5 points to begin with, and then, you know, you've got to drop something just to give them something sometimes so they feel like they won. But now all of a sudden you're at 2 or 3 points, whereas if you started with 15, you know, you drop it down to 12 or even 10, at least you're still winning.
Exactly.
And they feel like they're winning, but yeah, you're right. You can't, I don't know. I don't understand the whole philosophy of going in thin from the beginning, but
I think it's a fear factor that they just think they're going to lose it and that their customer is just going to, take off, you know, and just be upset that they came at that high of a payback. But I mean, I honestly think it's just fear.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right. Lack of confidence. I mean, the difference of 2 or 3 points to us is pretty big, but to the client, when you're looking at paying already 40%, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Is that your 2 or 3 points are going to make him run?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If it does make him run, just let him know. Like, all right, let me see what I can do. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And they were probably going to run anyways at that point.
Yeah. True. Very true.
That caused it.
Very true.
Yeah. I wanted to see if you could help me with something, though. I got an email from Kara last week, and I kind of spaced on it. Gretchen at CNC apparently had gone onto our Facebook page and had given us like a 5-star rating.
Oh, nice.
But Dean, of course, is asking for more and wants, which is fine because, you know, she's already put the effort. She's already shown that she can go online and she's willing to give us a review. But Dean wants us to talk to them and see if they'll do a review on Google Plus. He wants a minimum of 5 sentences, and then I guess we'll be sending them a Starbucks gift card.
Okay.
But you kind of had the last contact with her and really got things done. Can you reach out to her and ask her if she can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. That wouldn't be a problem at all. Is that like a big initiative right now? Because it's not the first time I'm hearing this about these reviews. Like they're really, they really want them right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't participate as much as I should and you know, for my own personal reasons, but, the reasons they want them is because every now and then we do get a negative review. Typically it's not for a good reason. You know, somebody thinks funding's taken too long or, you know, something stupid.
Right.
But one negative review can bring down our score. And I think the way that it works is it shows, you know, your most recent reviews first. So the way to kind of bury a negative one is to have more positives. So not only does it give us a better score, but it just gives us a better overall appearance.
Sure.
And then I think it also helps with search engine optimization.
Yeah.
You know, the more places that our name is popping up within the internet, whether it's our website or, you know, these other, you know, Google website or Facebook or wherever it is, the more times, you know, our name is being punched in or somebody is doing, you know, some sort of review or something that has to do with our name, the higher we can get ourselves on the top as far as search engine optimization. When somebody goes and, you know, punches like equipment leasing or working capital into a search engine, the companies that have the most activity on the internet are brought up first. So it's kind of all of the above.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I can definitely reach out, and then ask her to do that.
Cool. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Anything else? Is everything else going? You got,
what's up with Urban Chalet? Any update?
Yeah, I actually just talked to
Angela.
Angela and her sister.
Okay.
Maybe 2 days ago, and they finally have all of their invoices.
Uh huh.
But Angela forgot that she was approved for $100,000 on $250,000 notes. The total invoices that they sent over to me were only like $24,000.
Oh.
I called her. I said, is this it? You know, we've been working on this for a while. I thought we were like at $100,000. She goes, oh, no, I thought we were at $50,000. I said, no, I explained that we have $100,000 total, $250,000 loans. And I know originally you had said the second $50,000 wasn't going to be for a month or two, but now it's been a month or two. So, you know, is that one coming along? And is this first one only going to be for 24? And said, yeah, we only need this 24 now. And I had forgot about the other 50, but we do have other needs, but we just need to cover this first 24 now. So I'm going to get you involved because we do have, I think there's four, maybe five vendors.
Okay.
So I'm going to start reaching out probably this afternoon to those vendors. And what I'll do is I will probably either BCC you or have you called for invoices yet?
Called for invoices?
Yeah, from like the vendors. Is this your first equipment deal?
No. I've done equipment deal. I've called vendors and gotten invoices and had them write 100% pre-funding on them and multiple things. I've contacted vendors multiple times.
Okay. So what I'll do, I will maybe I'll call a couple and you can call a couple. I'll send you the invoicing instructions.
Sure.
And the quotes for you to call and get converted to invoices. And as soon as we get those back, we'll get it docked and get it wrapped up.
Cool. Did they find a location?
Yeah, they're at their new location. So oh, this nice. Is this is furniture and some computer stuff that's going to go in the new location.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, just let me know, man. Just shoot me an email or whatever. Email is probably best. And then I can, I'll follow up with you and I'll make that happen.
All right, cool. Let me give you, do you have my cell number?
Yeah, the 533-7329.
Yeah, so as of yesterday, apparently I don't have access to my emails through mobile devices.
Oh.
But. Why? I don't know. Long story. I guess there's some concern, I guess, with our new ITs, concerned about security of our clients, I guess, is what he's telling me. And if I was to lose my cell phone or my tablet, that somebody would have access to client information, which I don't really believe is the case. So I needed to basically sign off on an agreement through Google and my phone that says that Cardiff has the right to access my devices and make adjustments to my settings and different things.
Mm.
And I'm just not really cool with signing that on my personal devices. So
yeah,
I'm kind of at a stalemate right now with that.
Well, you know, if you just open your email through a internet browser, through your Internet Explorer on your phone, you can pull up. That's what I do. I pull up my email that way. It's not obviously integrated to my phone and through my email accounts, but I get all my emails and I can check them right there. And I just drag the screen down and it refreshes and I don't have to do any of that.
That is a brilliant idea.
You know,
I'm looking at that right now. I didn't even think about that. That is very smart. Just bypass the app altogether.
Let me see. Yeah.
I wonder if it will. Very well could, actually.
It's worked for me. You know, you just log in and then it pulls it up on the entire screen. And then you literally, I have a window that's always open with my email. And anytime I want to check it, it just doesn't alert you when you get a new email. That's the only thing. But
I mean, I habitually check it anyways, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So I'm just constantly just looking and seeing what's going on. I just literally drag the page down and it refreshes any new emails I get. And I kind of bypass all that security stuff. And I can still open docs on there. Like anytime I get statements or apps.
Well, it's not working as of right now, but we'll see what happens. You know what? I've got a call coming in. Can I call you back in a couple minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, Kev.